Russell Dorsey, national MLB insider for Yahoo Sports.
I think Pete Crow Armstrong's good based on...
And he bet on himself to say, hey, you know what? I appreciate you guys for having the conversation. I'm going to play this thing out and then we'll come back.
Insider and analyst for Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+.
We're happy to have you, Russell. Can we get along today?
I don't know. You ask. You tell me. I'm always trying to get along with you. It's never me.
Why is Layla covering her face right now?
Because she knows what time it is.
It's
you're the one who's been starting.
You're a stuff starter.
Russell Dorsey.
What's up, Russ?
On 670 The Score. Russ
is here in studio. He is a man of many talents. He is the Yahoo Sports National Major League Baseball insider. He is also an insider and analyst for MLB Network and Friday Night Baseball on Apple TV+. You can catch him on X at Russ_Dorsey1. And he joins us in studio with sleeves.
Yeah.
It's May weird. 20th. Are you okay with this?
I'm not. This is the first time I've been in here with sleeves on in quite some time. Maybe ever. And not great.
That hoodie looks plush, though.
No, it's warm. It's keeping me warm. And it's comfortable. So man, we're good for now.
CAA clients getting hoodies over
here. All right, let's relax.
Russ, off the jump, who's keeping the Cubs warm in the ninth inning when they have a one-run lead from now on?
I was in the Uber over here, and I was looking at you guys' discussion, thinking about this question coming up.
You were about to ask it.
You know, thinking you would ask. I think you go matchup. I think you just go matchup with either Drew Pomeranz or Brad Keller, and then just say, boom, there you go.
So a guy for any time, right? A guy for whoever. How'd you describe it? How'd you describe Brad Keller? The guy you want to call? Oh,
Brad Keller is my glad I called that guy. Like, yeah. He's a trusted and high leverage guy. But hi, I have a question.
Okay.
I'm an old, and I still am a person who believes that if you have a closer by committee, you have no closer, and this is not an ideal situation.
As an old, this is what I would tell you. That version of baseball does not exist anymore. Yes,
but I need to shake my fist and yell at a cloud. No, but I'm serious about this one. This one I actually do believe.
And I'm serious too. Like, that version of baseball doesn't exist. 30 teams would love to have a guy that say, you're our closer, but that's not realistic.
Can I blow your mind, Russ?
Sure.
I completely agree with you.
Oh, my. Oh, we got a first. We got a first. That's great. And usually it's me and Layla that agree, but me, Marshall's with me. I just don't think, especially for your roster, the way it's set up right now, you don't have that guy. And because you don't have that guy, the best thing you can do in this situation is say, hey, what's the matchup in the ninth? Okay, we have two lefties and a right-hander coming up. We're going Pomeranz. Or we have three right-handers. We're going with Keller. Or the pitch mix that Pomeranz has, even though it's three right-handers, it works better for him. We're going to go with Pomeranz. Like, that's the way the Cubs are going to have to go about this until they figure out what exactly they want to do in the ninth.
To your point, Layla, I think you were absolutely correct when you said if you have a closer by committee, you don't have a closer. I think that is also true. Don't have a closer right now.
Most teams don't believe in closer anyway. Most teams believe in high leverage arms. Like, the term closer is outdated at this point in Major League Baseball.
It's funny, though, because I still feel like it is something that with some teams is very settled science. You know, Craig Counsell's Brewers come to mind. You know, Josh Hader was closing that door. Yeah, I get the same feeling in Houston. I get this feeling that that's the reason why Presley is even here now, is because for them that's settled science. I find it interesting that you're pushing back on this in this way, and I want to know more. Because I don't know of a playoff contending team that says they don't know who their bullpen men are.
Yeah, I mean, it happened. I think you look at the Yankees, made it to the World Series. They figured out that Luke Weaver was their best option. He didn't start the year as their closer, right? That was Clay Holmes, who's been one of the best starting pitchers in Major League Baseball. But Clay Holmes was their starter, or their closer, up until the point where he's blowing some saves. They needed a guy that was shut down. That became Luke Weaver. This year, Devin Williams, they acquired him from the Milwaukee Brewers, who was the closer for a long time. Devin had some issues this year. And Luke Weaver, hey, come on down. You're back to being our closer. Like, so you can be a team in the World Series and not have a closer.
But they still had an anointed role. Like, you're still talking about some sort of framework.
But you have to figure out at a point, like, all right, when it wasn't it's just going to be this guy. Like, they were kind of going through, all right, is it this guy? No, it's this guy. And then settled on Luke Weaver, who became one of the most shut down arms in the big leagues. But yeah, I just think the idea that teams have this anointed closer, I would say there are half the league has a closer Like, it just, you're our guy in the ninth. Most teams are going to say matchup or high leverage arm.
That's that makes Chicago perfectly representative, because before this injury, half the teams in this city had a closer. And the other half was just like, if we happen to get a lead late.
Whenever we have a lead, we'll figure it out then.
We'll figure it out. That's the White Sox general approach to save situations.
I mean, unfortunately, it was Cam Boozer opposite of Rodriguez yesterday, and we have seen him on a ninth inning save situations. But I get it. I do think that they, being the bullpen, want to have an idea of where they're being used if they can, seems to be my takeaway. But I agree with you. Front offices are more than ever shuffling people.
I think, yes, you're correct. I do think guys like to have a role, but I think teams are starting to get guys to focus on, we just need high leverage outs. And however we get those outs, like some, you'll have some managers say the save is in the sixth inning sometimes, which isn't in like necessarily wrong, because if there's a runner on the corner situation with two outs in the sixth inning, that could be the ball game right there, and then you can have a clean ninth and then the game's over. So I just think it's the way baseball is right now. The label closer is not as important as it used to be.
Which is funny, because even the payroll still is, in a way, when you think about it. Like, that's, I'm not trying to like push back totally, but when I have the list of the highest paid relievers, mm-hmm. it's Josh Hader, $19 million per.
Okay.
Then it's Edwin Diaz, 18.3.
Okay.
Raisel Iglesias with the Braves, 16. Presley at 14.1. Mm-hmm. Kirby Yates with the Dodgers at 13.
And he's not a closer anymore.
No. Tanner Scott with the Dodgers at 12.1.
Also not a closer anymore.
Taylor Rogers with the Reds at 12.
Also not a closer anymore.
Rafael Montero, not a closer, at 11.5. Mm-hmm. A.J. Mitter with the Mets. And then Aroldis Chapman still getting the bag. He's 10.7.
Of the guys you mentioned, only the first three are still closers. To go to the point, you can get paid for being a high leverage arm.
Yes.
Yeah, I like that. I just want to point, when he's talking about the situational, he's talking about the sixth inning, not the fourth inning.
Said fourth inning, but I was also in panic mode.
Yeah, she was.
I
fought with my man Brian Kinney last week, because he, in the reverse, he thought that Juan Soto, who was getting a day off, should have came in and pinch hit in the fourth inning because it's a leverage situation. I'm like, BK, that's crazy.
I mean, he takes all of the concepts.
He's a wild boy.
To the extreme.
He's fun to argue with, though.
Yeah, because he has points. He has points.
He does.
And sometimes you'd be like, I see where you're going,
but no.
Exactly. I would say this. That was the question you anticipated us asking.
Yeah.
Were there any, because we have another one that we're ready to ask you, but were there any that you anticipated us asking?
I texted Ray about one. It wasn't the Keller one or the closer situation. I know you're probably going to do your weekly question about PCA.
Well, we have new developments.
Well, that's not even it's not the salary, pay him, which I'm still saying pay PCA. I'm never getting off that horse. It's where should PCA bat in the lineup now?
I was prepared for that one. Okay. I was, because I looked up in the Uber here. I looked at what his splits were as a leadoff hitter, and he has an 1100 OPS in the leadoff spot.
My God.
And he has a 975 OPS in the seven hole, where he was really taking off.
1100. I love the small sample.
I think if you're Craig Counsell, you at least try it for a game or two with him in the leadoff spot and see, because that lengthens your lineup. You could also push back and say, well, if you put him back in the seven hole, the lineup is still lengthened.
No one's putting him in the seven. Let's be very clear. No one's trying to put PCA in the seven hole, but I am trying to return Ian Happ to the leadoff spot because he can work a count. PCA is jumping on the first pitch.
100%, right? Like, if there's any flaw in PCA's game right now, that brother is not waiting around to see pitches. He has a single-digit walk rate, right? But you let him cook. You let him cook, Layla, because
he's
getting on base at a high clip, but he's swinging his way on base. So to your point, Marshall, yes, you do want a guy in that leadoff spot that can get on base at a much higher clip. Ian has been able to do that since he got to the big leagues back in the
day. He's got one walk in 36 plate appearances in the leadoff spot. It's not good enough.
The logic says yes, like you would put Ian back there. But like if PCA, who's hitting like 380 since he's been in the leadoff spot.
353, but you're close.
Okay. Like, And one game? Is one game going to kill you?
Yes, because now they need to win these games because it's the freaking Marlins. Win the game. And so I'm saying is put Ian Happ up top and move PCA to the cleanup spot.
We also have some audio from Jed Hoyer when it comes to what he had to say on Mullion Hall this morning about the leadoff hitter spot. Let's listen to it.
I think he can definitely do that job for sure. I mean, I think we have a couple really good options. I think Ian did a great job in that spot. He sees so many pitches. He gets on base. I think when you have him and Tucker, you know, hitting 1-2, there's just so much traffic on the bases for the other guys. I think it really helps. And then with Pete, you know, Pete's a different style of hitter. It's just he's dangerous right away. You know, the way he's hitting power, and obviously, you know, if he gets on base, he creates havoc. So I think we have two really good options, and you know, unclear how we'll go going forward. You know, my guess is that Ian will start leading off again, and Pete will probably not go quite as far down in the order. But you know, obviously, Craig and I will talk about that. But I think that the position has evolved. I mean, you think about. I mean, you know, honestly, how much criticism we got for trying, you know, Kyle Schwarber in that role. I remember in Boston, we got a lot of criticism for putting Kevin Youkilis in that role, and people thought that was kind of crazy. And I do think that now, as you know, Shohei Ohtani, you know, is leading off, and it's not a surprise to anyone that you would put a huge power hitter in. This is a guy that's dangerous at the top of the lineup. And Schwarber's not doing it this year, but, you know, he did it in the past with Philly. So, you know, certainly I think to myself, if you're a pitcher, you know, starting off a game and, you know, you're worried about your first pitch of the game getting hit for a homer. I mean, it's unsettling. And so I do think that that's, you know, getting your best hitters the most at-bats and also having some fear in the opposing pitcher right away, I think there's real value in that.
Okay, I did laugh also because when I heard Jed Hoyer say that this morning on Mullion Hall, I think he was thinking about what happened to them in the game the night before.
That's fair. First two batters, bam, bam, boom, boom.
But I do want to know what Russ Dorsey's thoughts are on this.
Well, he sounds like he's been talking to Marshall because it makes perfect sense. I will say the point about the leadoff spot changing over the decades is true, right? Like you see guys that were traditionally 3-4 hitters 15, 20, 30 years ago batting leadoff. I will say the difference is, like he mentioned Shohei Ohtani. Now, but outside of being the best player in the world, Shohei has a 14% walk rate. PCA has a 4% walk rate. I would rather have the guy that's going to see some pitches and walk 100 times a year.
Set up the rest of your lineup.
Right, Kyle Schwarber. That's a guy that walks 100 times a year. Yes. I don't hate the idea of moving him down, but not necessarily back to the seventh spot. So you would go Ian Happ, Tuck, Seiya Suzuki, PCA.
Dansby.
Michael Bush.
Dansby, then Michael Bush, yes.
Yeah, interesting.
Yes. That's exactly how I do it.
And that's it versus a right-handed lineup.
Yes. Like, to have the balance in the lineup, because obviously relievers come in and they have to deal with, and they, do we want to use him? Because
you're a left-right guy.
Not always, but in this, with the way this lineup has produced and the way they just hit, I'm most comfortable with
you
that.
You can be a left
You can be right. More flexible today than you could be, let's call it a month ago, with Dansby swinging it the way he is.
Yes, and that's my point. So Michael Bush, I mean, if Michael Bush produces like he's produced this year in the sixth spot, and those other guys are who we think they are, you're in really good shape. Nico Hoerner batting seventh then, and then you've got, who am I missing?
Well, Miguel Amaya,
and then Matt Shaw. Like, whew. That's a nice lineup.
You know what's bad about today, Marshall?
What's that?
I agree with you. Like, I don't like this way. Something's in the atmosphere. Is Mercury in retrograde? Like, this is
probably.
This is wild.
I think it was about to happen. Ray, what are you?
It's
Ray?
That dust storm from Friday.
The dust storm.
Put something in the air.
I need to know what early 2000s dance music fiend played Sandstorm during the sandstorm. I need to know if somebody did it. One of you will tell me.
This is back to you being an old, isn't it?
It is. It is indeed.
I like that you've tried to embrace something that you're not, but you try to like, put it out
there. I'll never call Layla an old.
Exactly. I mean, I've been old about some things. Closer by committee, yes. For example. Like, I feel like I sprayed all fields when it comes to certain traditional knowledges about things, or like appreciating Sandstorm by Darude, for example.
I just think right now, with the way things are going for the Cubs, They're going to have to. I think they have an identity. And this is something I told earlier in the show. Every year you wonder, what is your team's identity going to be? Well, the Cubs have an identity, especially with Justin Steele being out for the year, especially not knowing if Shota Imanaga is not going to be back for another 3 to 4 weeks. The identity is this. We're just going to try to outslug you and hold on for dear life.
Bludgeon you every night.
And hold on for dear life.
Yes.
8-7 is a reasonable outcome. Ideally, you want it the other way, but that's a reasonable outcome for their season.
And look, I think the benefit is you got one of the best offenses in baseball, and until you figure out the rest, that's the recipe.
I also want to follow up with you on this. I don't know that PCA is ever going to have a high walk rate because of the fact that opposing teams know he's such a threat to steal. You're not necessarily going to be okay with the walk for that individual. You're okay with one of the other outcomes.
I disagree with your premise. I think right now he's a guy that is a free swinger, right? There are guys who get into the Hall of Fame being free swingers. Vladimir Guerrero Sr. was a free swinger.
Vladdy Daddy
was one of the best players the game has ever seen. As a guy, I don't give a blank if it's at my shoe tops, I'm swinging a bat. I'm going to hit a homer when the ball bounces off the plate. And so it doesn't make you an inherently bad player if you don't take walks. But you become an even more dangerous player when you take walks. Shohei Ohtani, when he first got to the Angels, when he came over from Japan, wasn't a guy that just walked a ton. And now he's a guy that walks at a 14-15% clip, even more dangerous now.
Oh, I completely agree. I just don't know if that's ever going to be PCA's profile.
I think the biggest difference,
as he's got the speed element.
I would say the biggest difference with those two profiles and the way they line up, when you talk about PCA versus Ian Happ, that favors PCA over Ian Happ, to me anyway, is the speed element and the fact that 39 games, that's how many Ian Happ's played this year, he's got 3 stolen base attempts. He's 2 for 3. That, like, the threat of speed is there, but it's not prevalent. With PCA, if he's on base, that man is taking off.
I get you. I just, with the roster that they have, I'm less worried about it. Right, if you know that Ian's going to have a 360, 370 on base, and you have one of the best hitters in baseball and Kyle Tucker hitting behind him, and Seiya Suzuki, who's been one of the best hitters in baseball over the last year and a half, almost 2 years, I'm not worried about a guy being in the leadoff spot and stealing bags.
Okay, fair enough. That might be the biggest difference between the last decade and a half.
I do believe that your guy batting leadoff should be a threat to steal bags.
She's old. Let her live.
If I walk and we have a 2-run homer after me, yeah, we got the result.
Tough
life. Cubs hadn't had that kind of lineup until recently.